All right, I want to welcome everybody to the master's class here at Soma Church, and we are in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, and we're going to be talking about Jesus is the answer to your darkness. Now, we're soon going to be coming to the end of our study of the Gospel of John. Now, it's been a good study, and I think it's a good study because there are so many things about Jesus in this gospel. There's so many teachings, there's so many proofs that validate our faith, and we've been going through each and every one of those. And this is interesting to me because today we're going to be talking about the reason why the Lord inspired John to write this gospel. John had a purpose when he gave us the Gospel of John, and it was that we might believe in Jesus, and that by believing, we might be saved. And he tells us about that purpose in our two focus verses for today, and they are verses 30 and 31 in chapter 20 of the Gospel of John. Now, we've just got one more chapter to go through, chapter 21. Of the Gospel of John, and then my plan is still to step away from the book-to-book studies that I've been doing for so long and do the life of David. And that's what my intention is, unless you guys raise your hand and jump up and shout and scream and holler and tell me you don't want to do that. I think that's where the Lord's leading me to go. Now, it'll be a very different kind of study because I'm not going to teach all of 1 and 2 Samuel and all of 1 and 2 Chronicles and even into Kings and so forth. I'm just going to pick certain events in David's life and talk about David's life as we go through that, because that's a study I've always felt led to do. I haven't been able to do it in a very long time, and so it's going to be a lot of extra study because I don't have lessons prepared for this kind of stuff. But anyway, that's probably where we will be heading. So let's see if we can get started here this morning in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So, you know, I didn't have to conjugate any Greek verbs. I didn't have to do any real word studies on this. John is really clear in his purpose for writing the gospel that he has written here. And he says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, meaning that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. John uses a particular word for miracles here, and it is the word sign. Now, because a sign was a miracle, but it was more than a miracle. It was a miracle with a message, and it taught as well as performed. And G. Campbell Morgan said that every parable that Jesus gave was a miracle of illustration, and every miracle that Jesus performed was a parable of teaching. I won't say that again. Every parable that Jesus gave was a miracle of instruction, and every miracle that Jesus performed was a parable of teaching. Now, what this means is that you need to look beyond the miracles to find the message that Jesus had for us in that miracle. And God gives us these signs that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now, when I was a little boy, we used to travel over the countryside on vacations, and we would always look for the Burma shave signs. The Burma shave signs. You got any of y'all remember the Burma shave signs? Now, Chris, you may not be old enough to remember Burma, but that's okay. But most of us in this class are old enough to remember the Burma shave signs. Now, Burma Shave was a shaving cream, and they would advertise Burma Shave by a series of signs, little poems that would develop as you went down the road. Now, Other people have tried to do this same thing, but I haven't seen anyone be as successful at it as Burma Shave was. Now, these signs would be in a series, and they would be maybe 50 yards apart on the roads, and there would be three or four of them. And the first one would say something like, "A peach looks good." And then the next sign would say, "With lots of fuss." And then the next sign would say, "But man is no peach." And the next sign would say, "And never was." And then the last sign would say, "Burma Shave." Okay? So, and there were all kinds of limericks and poems like that up and down. Now, you'd read these little signs, one, two, three, four, five, however many there were, and then at the end, it would give the conclusion. Well, now the Burma Shave people may have thought that they were unique with this methodology, but God was doing it a long time ago. In the Gospel of John, God gave us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 signs for us to look at, right? Now, I've told you when we started this book, I think there are more than 7, but, you know, I'm not going to argue with the consensus of other people. There are 7 miracles that are essentially discussed by general consensus in the Gospel of John. But God gave us those 7 signs. And then at the end, it doesn't say Burma Shave. At the end of the Gospel of John, it says Jesus Christ, Messiah, Son of God, and believe on Him, and you will have everlasting life. Now, we've already talked about every one of these 7 signs, and I'm not going to go back over all of them again here today. But I do want to look at one of the signs in particular, because it helps us to understand what these last 2 verses of chapter 20 of the Gospel of John are telling us. This particular sign illustrates how a sign or a miracle could be given or could be performed that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Now, without a doubt, that is the purpose of this gospel. God wants us to know that Jesus is God's answer to man's darkness. Jesus is God's answer to man's darkness. So the sign that we're going to look at was when Jesus healed a man who was born blind. And this is in John chapter 9, verse 1. "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." Now, the first thing I want you to see, the first truth that I want you to learn today, is that spiritual blindness makes beggars of us all. Spiritual blindness makes beggars of us all. So here was a man that was blind. Now, remember that this man was physically blind, but he is a picture of any person, man, woman, boy, or girl, who is without the Lord Jesus Christ. And John tells us what is missing from this man's life, from every lost person's life, in John 1:4. Verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So this blind man was a picture of a lost person without the life of Jesus Christ to bring light to their darkness. Now, what happened when man sinned? Why are lost people in darkness? Well, what happened when man sinned? When Adam sinned, Adam became minus God in his spirit. Adam became minus God in his spirit. Now, Adam was made perfect when God created him, and God lived in Adam. Adam was a temple in which God could live. But God said to Adam, "In the day that you sin against me, you will surely die." And when Adam sinned against God, he did die. But how did he die? He didn't die physically, because physically he lived for hundreds of years. He died spiritually. Now, what happened is that the life went out of Adam. The spiritual life went out of Adam. Remember what John 1:4 said, "In him was life, and the life was the light of man." Now, you think about it. When the Lord went out, the life went out. And when the life went out, the light went out. Can you remember that? When the Lord went out, the life went out, And when the life went out, the light went out. You see, in Christ is life, and the life was the light. Now, every man that is a son of Adam has the nature of Adam, and he is minus God. He is minus the Lord, minus the light, minus the light. Therefore, this man that was born blind is illustrative of every man, woman, boy, and girl who is born without the Lord Jesus. So, when the Lord went out, Adam was what? He was depraved. When the life went out, he was what? He was dead. And when the light went out, he was what? He was darkened. So Adam is now depraved, dead, and darkened because he doesn't have the Lord in him anymore. Now, does that make sense to you? Everybody, does that make sense to you? All right, good. That's what it means to be lost. To be lost, you don't have to be a rapist, a murderer, a bank robber, an arsonist, or a blasphemer. You just have to be minus God. Now, we are sons of Adam, and in Adam, all die. In Adam, all die. So, Jesus says to every person that is born of Adam that they are blind. They are blind. And what does he tell Nicodemus back in the third chapter of John? John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He doesn't mean that Nicodemus can't see physical, material things, but that he can't understand spiritual things. Paul says the same thing about every person without Christ in Ephesians 4:18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Notice what Paul says. He says, having the understanding darkened. Not the eyes, but the understanding is darkened. Now, there's more than one kind of blindness. There is the blindness of the eyes, and there is the blindness of the heart. And so this man was blind. Now here's the second thing that I want you to notice about this man. Not only was he blind, but he was born blind. Now in verse 1, chapter 9, John tells us he was blind from his birth. Now the disciples see this blind man and they ask a foolish question. Now, you never knew the disciples to ask a foolish question, did you? They were asking foolish questions all the time, but this one was right up there at the top of the list, okay? Verse 2 says, And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So the disciples asked, well, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, it is possible that his parents could have sinned and the baby would be born blind. There are times that little babies are born blind because of venereal disease or because of an abuse of drugs. So it is possible that the baby could have been born blind because of the parent's sight. But the truth is that obviously there are some little babies who are just born blind, and it's not because of the parent's sin. So, now, the really foolish part of this question that the disciples asked was when they said, this man or his parents, suggesting that if it wasn't his parents, then the reason this little baby could have been born blind because it had sinned, even before it was born. Now, I don't know whether they believed in reincarnation or maybe the baby sinned in his mother's womb or some kind of crazy thing like that, but frankly, it was a pretty stupid question, okay? So, Jesus responded by saying that he's always patient with them, and he's always patient with me when I ask all my stupid questions, too, because I ask a bunch of them as well, all right? Verse 3 says, Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So, Jesus said that the reason this man was born blind was not because of his parents' sin or his own sin, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Jesus is telling us that this man is an illustration of every unsaved man, woman, boy, and girl. How? Number one, he was blind. Number two, he was born blind. Now, did you know that we're all born blind spiritually? We are all born blind. Psalms 51:5 says, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, that doesn't mean that I was conceived out of wedlock. But when it says, in sin did my mother conceive me, it means that I was a sinner in conception. I was born. I was conceived with a sinful nature. Even your little precious granddaughter, believe it or not, she has a sinful nature. And what she needs, when she reaches the age of accountability, to be saved, just like everyone else, right? Ephesians 2:3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So this verse speaks of those of us who are or were lost. So this man was blind and he was born blind. Now, not only was he blind and born blind, but go on down to verse 8 and find out something else about him. Verse 8, chapter 9 of the Gospel of John says, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? So he was blind, he was born blind, and he became a beggar. And again, this man represents every person who is without the Lord Jesus Christ. What did God create man to be? We created him to be a king. When God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden, he gave Adam and Eve dominion. That is, they were to rule. Adam and Eve were the king and queen of planet Earth. Mankind was to have dominion. But man, who was created to be a king, a spiritual king, is now a blind beggar. Why? Because he gave up his dominion to Satan. Now, you may be sitting there today, and you got a lot of money in the bank. How many of you got lots of money in the bank, right? Nobody here has lots of money in the bank? Well, you know, anyway. Yeah, there are lots of people out there who have lots of money in the bank. You say, well, Brother Key, I may be blind, and I may be born blind spiritually, but I'm certainly no beggar. I don't go around begging all over the place. In fact, I'm pretty rich, right? Well, then, if that's what you're thinking, you don't understand the kind of beggar that I'm talking about. Revelation 3:17 says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Jesus asked, don't you know that you are poor, blind, and naked? This is the picture of mankind without the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us that spiritual blindness makes beggars of us all. Now, the second thing it tells us, and this is very, very important, it tells us that the blind need more than light in order to see. The blind need more than light in order to see. Verse 4 and 5 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. And this is Jesus speaking. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, here was a man who was blind, and Jesus, the light of the world, was in his presence. Here he was right there in sunshine. He was there in the light, but he could not see Jesus. The blind need more than light to see. A blind man may not see the light, but he would be foolish to deny the light just because he cannot see it. But this scripture tells us that man needs more than light. He needs sight. He needs sight. He needs more than light. He needs sight. Now listen very carefully, because some of you have loved ones who are lost. Some of you want to be soul winners. And there's a great truth here in this verse. There can be no sight without light, but there can be light without sight. There can be no sight without light, but there can be light without sight. How many of you have visited Carlsbad Caverns at one time or another? Anybody? Well, Carlsbad Caverns is this big, deep, dark cave out in Missouri, and you go down inside of it, okay? I visited there one time, and when they turn out the lights, the darkness in that cavern is so deep you could almost slice it, okay? It really is dark. And no matter if you have 20/20 vision, you can't see a thing there because there's no sight without light. There's no sight without light. But there can be light without sight. I mean, a man could be standing blind at high noon and still not see. Now, what is the point here? We need to understand this, that men need more than light in order to be saved. They can't be saved without the light, but they also need the sight. 2 Corinthians 4, 3-4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Now, Satan can't put out the light. If you're in a deep, dark room, and you turn on a little flashlight, a little bitty flashlight, that light's going to be there, right? There is no way the darkness of the world, the darkness of Satan, can put out that little light. They can't overwhelm it. The light will push back the darkness every time. Satan cannot put out the light that is Jesus Christ. So what does he do? He blinds the heart and he blinds the mind. The Bible says the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Therefore, it takes more than preaching to get people saved. I used to think that all you had to do to get people saved was just to tell them how to be saved. Just turn on the light. Yeah, just turn on the light and they'll see it and they'll be saved, right? So, but it doesn't matter how much light there is. If the person is blind, then he can't see it. It takes more than light. It takes sight. A person who is blind cannot see the light no matter how strong the light is or how pure the light is. It takes more than words to get people saved. It is only the Holy Spirit who can impart truth. That is the reason that you must be a Spirit-filled soul winner. That is the reason we must have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because we are dependent upon God to open blinded eyes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It takes more than light, it takes sight. We need to understand that nobody can be argued into the kingdom of heaven. Nobody can be educated into the kingdom of heaven. I'm not against teaching and preaching because you must let the light shine. The light's got to be shining out there, right? But remember, there is another dimension. This man was blind, and there he was, face to face with the light of the world, but he could not see it. Notice now what the Lord Jesus did to solve this problem. Verses 6 and 7 of chapter 9. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent." And he went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Now, Jesus does something really remarkable here. He said, "You know what? I am the light of the world." The light was there before the man, but then Jesus did something else. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle. Now, that's just mud made of clay or dirt and spit, right? And he anointed the eyes of the blind with that clay. So what does that mean? What does the clay represent? Clay speaks of humanity. How did God make man? God made man of the dust of the earth, and because it speaks of humanity, right? It speaks of the weakness, it speaks of the failure, it speaks of the inability to put clay on his eyes represents that which would seal out the light. Why are we spiritually blinded? Because we are spiritually darkened. It's our humanity, it's our sin that has caused us to be darkened. It is the humanity in us that causes us to be darkened. That's what the clay represents on this man's eyes. That's what's wrong with this man, his humanity, his nature. That's what caused him to be blind. Then Jesus said, "Go wash in the pool called Siloam." Now, what does that mean? John gives us the answer, which is by interpretation, sent. It's S-E-N-T. Now, why would Jesus say something like that? Remember, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And a man is blind because of his humanity, his sinful nature, And what does the man need? He needs sight. He needs Jesus. The Lord Jesus says, this pool that I'm sending you to represents me. I am the one sent from heaven. I am the one. I am heaven's answer for man's darkness. And your humanity blocks out that light. This dirt, this dust, this clay blocks out that light. But I have been sent from above. I am heaven's light for earth's darkness. I am the only one that can take away this darkness, the heaven-sent Son of God. So we need to understand we are by nature spiritually blind. We need to understand that man needs more than light, he needs sight, and that Jesus Christ is the only one who can give that sight. Now, here's the third thing that we need to learn. Opened eyes, or eyes once open, can see the light, but they must learn to see. They must learn to see. So the opened eyes must learn to see. Now, this man had his eyes open, and yet he's still not saved. He's still not saved, right? Now, what happened to this man was that once he was healed, the Pharisees got after him, right? And because he had allowed Jesus to heal him, they were going to put him out of the synagogue. And they began to ask him all kinds of questions. They asked, well, who is this he that's healed you? What were his credentials? Who ordained him? And this man looked at them and he said, I don't know what you're even asking. He said, I can't answer these questions, but I can tell you one thing. Once I was blind, and now I can see. Verse 25 of chapter 9 says, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Well, you know, that's a pretty good testimony for as far as it went. But I mean, if someone that you were trying to save asked you if Jesus was a sinner or not, and you said, well, I really don't know if he was a sinner or not. Now, that wouldn't be a very good testimony for you to give to that person, would it? But it was a good testimony for this man at this stage because that's all that he knew. He didn't know any more than that. All he knew was that he had been blind, he was born blind, and he was a beggar. Jesus put spit and clay on his eyes. He went and washed in the pool, and now he can see. Now he can see. That's all he knows. He doesn't know anything about Jesus. Not only physically, but now I want you to see how Jesus is going to open his eyes spiritually, right? So, what is Jesus illustrating here? That it takes more than light, it takes sight. And once you get both light and sight, you still have to learn to see. Now, notice the progression in this man. This man had honest ignorance at this stage in his spiritual development. Will Rogers said that a man doesn't show his ignorance by not knowing so much as he does by knowing so much that just ain't so. All right? So this man, he only knew what he knew. So a Christian with a glowing testimony is worth a library full of arguments. I mean, they wanted to argue with this man. He said, hey, once I was blind and now I can see. And they couldn't argue with that. He had an honest ignorance. But I want you to understand this, that the Holy Spirit guides you into truth. The Holy Spirit does not give you truth. Did you hear that? Jesus said of the Holy Spirit that when he has come, he will guide into all truth. He will guide into all truth. Once you have the light, you must learn to see. Now, I want you to notice how this man went through a progression in his faith. He gets healed, and so the Pharisees say unto him in verses 10 and 11, therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I went and washed, and I received sight. So his response to the Pharisees about who did this was, a man. Some man did this to me. His name is Jesus. He made clay. He did it. That's all he knew about him. He was a man, just a man. That's step number one in his progression, right? But now go down to verse 17 in this same chapter. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. So now the man is beginning to think on things a little bit. He's saying this man's more than just a man. He's a prophet. That's step two of his progression, right? Now go on down to verses 31 and 33. Now we know that God, and this is the man speaking, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? That is very significant about this miracle, is that no one else had ever claimed to be able to heal someone who had been born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. So now, notice how the man is beginning to see more and more. First he says that Jesus is a man, and he didn't know whether he was a sinner or not. Next he says that Jesus was a prophet. Now he's saying that Jesus is a man sent of God. He says if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. But now I want you to know how his faith completely ripens and completely develops. After the Pharisees had ended all of their questioning, the Lord seeks him out and enables him to believe. The Lord gives him understanding. Now he leads him from a non-saving faith to a saving faith. Now right now, the man is believing about Jesus before he is trusting in Jesus. Verses 35 and 36, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? So Jesus asked the man, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And the man replied, Well, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? So the man's not quite there, but he believes Jesus is a man. He believes Jesus is a prophet. He believes Jesus is sent from God. But he doesn't know yet that Jesus is the Son of God or who he really is. Verse 37 and 38 says, And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And what does the man say? He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. So Jesus tells him that thou hast both seen, and it is he that talketh with thee. Now the man's eyes are now open, and he has learned to see. He replies, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped me. And you see all this? You see the progression of what he's done? You see, the man who's been given sight is now learning to see. And that's the way that people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. God has to open their eyes. The Holy Spirit has to guide them into insight, spiritual insight, but that they may begin to learn to grow in knowledge until they come to that full-formed faith. Let me give you some scriptures to help you teach that. Luke 8:18, Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. So this verse teaches that there are two paths in your journey to learn about Christ. And it depends on how you choose to hear. It says, Take heed, therefore, how you hear. So be very careful when you come to church and when you sit in a class like this and you have the gospel presented to you, how you hear and receive those words. Now, because if you have a desire for truth, you'll be given more truth. But if you don't have a desire for truth, even that which you seem to have will be taken away from you. But if you want to learn, God will reveal the truth to you. Romans 1:17 says, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So now how does God speak to you? He speaks to you from faith to faith. Here was a man, and he has opened his eyes. There's a little bit of faith there. And then he goes from that faith to this faith. He says he's a prophet. And then he goes from that faith to this faith. He says he's sent from God. And he goes from that faith to this faith. He says he is the Son of God. I believe in him, and he's saved. He goes from faith to faith. To him that has will be given. You see, once the eyes are open, then you need to be able to understand. Proverbs 4:18 says, But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So at first it's gray dawn, right? And then the sun comes over the horizon, and you can see, but they're just shadows. very little color. Then the sun gets up a little bit more and you can see, but there are long shadows. And then finally, it is high noon and there are no more shadows. That is the way that God gives us spiritual wisdom. The more light we seek, the more light that God gives us that we can see. And so we are born blind beggars. It takes more than light, it takes sight. It takes a miracle. But once God opens our eyes, then we have to learn to see. Now here's the final thing that I want us to see today, that man's greatest need, therefore, is to confess and to admit his need. Verses 39 and 41 in chapter 9. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, that they which see might be made blind." Right? "And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth." You know the parable that says there are none so blind and those who refuse to see? Yeah. And so those who claim to be full, Jesus sent away empty or hungry. And those who claim to be righteous were sent away unforgiven. And those who claim to see remain blind. Man's greatest need is to see his spiritual blindness. And the Bible makes that very clear. Just as the light obeyed increases light, light refused increases darkness. Romans 1:21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified not him as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." So light obeyed increases light, light refused increases darkness. Now, there can be no greater sin than to reject the light. Once man hears the gospel and his heart is open to the word of God, if he does not act upon that light and go from faith to faith until he believes in Jesus Christ, his condemnation will be doubled. Because not only is he judged for the disease, he's judged also because he refused the cure. He refused the cure. Verses 19 and 20 of chapter 3 of the Gospel of John says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." So when God comes to judge the world, he's not going to judge the world primarily by the sin that was committed, but by the light that was rejected. And what does this miracle show? That Jesus is the light of the world. We are born blind beggars, but those blind eyes can be opened and will be opened by the grace of God. It's not just turning on the light. The heart, the mind has to be opened and quickened to understand that when we live up to the light that we have, when we live up to that light that we are given, we go stepping out into that light till we come to Jesus. So we're given light, we step out into the light, and we keep following that light until we find Jesus. Man's greatest need is to come, to admit and confess his spiritual blindness. When he says, "I see," he remains blind. But when he says, "God help me, I'm blind," God opens his eyes and gives him light. John tells us that the purpose he had in writing this gospel was that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. God wants us to know that Jesus is God's answer to man's darkness. Amen? Amen. Amen.